we started off the new year by witnessing Iron Man saving half of all existence.
From Thanos and his fleet.
Indeed. We synced up Avengers Endgame with New Year's at 12 midnight, and it worked.
The exact moment that Tony Stark snapped, it became the new year.
Heck yeah. And it was really cool when like Thanos started fading.
Mm-hmm. That was like 2021 fading
away.
Yeah.
But there was some good stuff to 2021, and we need to talk about it.
There very much was.
Top 15 2021 content ranking. Let's get into it.
Yeah.
Welcome to Geekology 101. My name is Diego.
And my name is Joshua.
Speaking to you from the year 2022.
We actually time traveled here from 2021. Basically, all we had to do is wait.
But technically, you're all here too.
Yes. So.
Anyway, yeah, man, we wanted to break down our top 15 list. Each of our lists is not like a compounded list, a combined list.
Mm-hmm.
So each of us are going to drop whatever our top 15 is, starting with number 15 and working our way up to number 1.
So are we going to like switch back and forth?
Yeah, We'll do like 15, both of us, 14, both of us, etc. Right. But before we get to that list, we do have a couple of things to talk about in news and reviews. So you ready to get into that?
News and reviews.
You're still trying to make that a thing in 2022?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a thing. It's going to be a thing.
Just play the beat. The Matrix Resurrections. And by the way, so like The Matrix Resurrections is out already on theaters and on HBO Max. So if you haven't seen it by now, it's probably because you have like not much interest. But spoiler alert, you know, just in case that you do want to watch it, just, you know, skip forward maybe, you know, 2-3 minutes.
So I thought that it was good.
Right.
It wasn't like the best movie I've ever seen. But
that we agree on.
Yeah. It's good, though. It's good.
You know how we've talked about sometimes, like, that rewatchability has a lot to say about how good a thing is?
Mm-hmm.
Like, how many times you're willing to sit through it again?
Yeah.
Like, Avengers Endgame. We just rewatched it again for, like... I mean, have you lost count yet? I've lost count. The fact that we wanted to watch that movie... to greet the New Year's with
that
it.
Movie has a lot of rewatchability.
Huge. That, like Infinity War.
One of the most.
Captain America Civil War.
Spider-Man No Way Home.
Absolutely. Ragnarok. Like, these movies are just movies that I will rewatch over and over. Even stuff like World War Z. I've watched that movie like 5 times this last year.
Really?
Yeah. Based on rewatchability, honestly, The Matrix Resurrections, I'm a little curious right now to rewatch it. Just to give it a second viewing, and now that I know where everything lies, like, you know, I don't have to, like, wonder what the heck is happening.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to see if I might change my mind after a second viewing. But honestly, after that, I don't think I'm going to rewatch that movie in a while.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe if they decide to make another one, I'll rewatch it before the next one comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Matrix Reloaded and Matrix Revolutions, those I've seen many, many times.
A lot of rewatchability.
Yeah. So that's the reason why for me, I don't know, man, the movie is a little forgettable, and it's kind of sad to me because of the fact that like this is such a huge franchise.
Mm-hmm. I mean, as far as I know, and like I'm actually not really joking that much right now.
Yeah.
This couldn't like this this the world that we live in
mm-hmm.
could be like a computer-generated world. Like, I'm actually not joking.
Exactly, right.
Because the people in the Matrix, I mean, they think so much.
Yeah.
That their reality is real.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Because it is to them.
Right.
So, what if, since the Matrix is real, just like in the Matrix Resurrections,
mm-hmm.
they created those Matrix movies.
Yeah.
To make us think, oh, what if this was real? Ha, ha, ha.
Right.
But, surprise, surprise. Just like how they made the Matrix a game that Neo made.
Yeah.
In Resurrections. It's movies.
Right.
And, like, it's just a whole loop.
Yeah, yeah. It's really interesting. Like, I'll give it this. Like, the whole beginning to me was really interesting because of the fact that you start piecing together, like, okay, there. It's almost like if this whole Matrix was created to make sure that he didn't break out again, right?
Yeah.
Like, specifically him. And they created, like, a different scenario where they fed him the idea of the Matrix already so that he couldn't come across the idea of the Matrix and want to break free from it.
Yeah.
You know, so like by keeping it there in front of him and like an idea that came from quote unquote his brain, it's like a perfect way for him to never question like, oh no, of course this isn't real because I created it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there's also the stuff like, for example, that this Matrix has bots in the years since the Matrix came out. Yeah, the people who could like be activated and their eyes would turn into like the Matrix code.
Oh yeah,
those were bots. Like they were never real people connected to the Matrix, which I thought was brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they created these people who were pretending to be like normal people connected
Swarm
to the
mode.
Matrix. I like the fact that they tried to reimagine what the Matrix would be like with our current knowledge of like virtual reality and technology and coding. Like
yeah.
They incorporated so much of that into it. But then after that point, for me, the story got a little bit repetitive and it got a little bit predictable.
I think we all kind of knew that he was like the point of the movie was like him trying to get Trinity out.
Right.
I feel like that was kind of predictable.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just thought like it was kind of.
But as soon, like, I think, like, as soon as they revealed that, like, they needed to be connected to each other for that Matrix to stay on.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that?
Yeah.
Like, as soon as they talked about that, and then they talked about the fact that they were, like, two halves of like, the same coding almost.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, I was like, oh, they're clearly going to make Trinity, like, the one alongside Neo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's no longer going to be the girlfriend of the one. She's going to be half of the one.
Which they did.
Right. I thought that was interesting, but it was, again, that to me has already started being kind of predictable. So I was kind of like waiting for the moments when Trinity was going to discover her oneness.
Yeah.
You know? And sure enough, she discovered it, and she's the one that rediscovered flight before Neo did.
Mm-hmm.
But then by the end of the movie, we see them both kind of like equal, you know? And that is the part where I picked up interest again, and then the movie ended. I was like, oh, wait a minute. Like, what does a Matrix story look like when these two people are like gods within the Matrix?
Yeah.
You know, they're like the god, the Adam and Eve kind of gods inside the Matrix. So I was really curious to see that. But then the movie ended and. Okay. All right. Like I could.
I mean,
get
did you
movie.
Want it to go on longer?
Yeah, because that was the most important part to me. And that's where I'm saying that the movie really became kind of like a retelling of the original. Because in the original, what happens? The whole saga, basically, of the original movie, of the first one, is Thomas Anderson deciding to break out of the Matrix, right? He had to decide. Then once he's out, he has to, like, adapt to his new reality. And they played that beat by beat pretty much in this movie, right? They may not have been, like... like there may have been different elements, right? Zion and the war did end, and like machines are now also allied with men,
like Io.
With people. Yeah, Io is the new Zion.
They can actually grow food,
right?
Like real food,
right? So all that stuff is cool, right? But then what happens? Then it's basically like re-entering the Matrix in the original movie. Neo had to re-enter the Matrix. He had to visit the Oracle. There's no Oracle in this one, but he visited Sati in this one.
Isn't she the Oracle now?
I don't think so. Is she? No one called her the Oracle.
I'm pretty sure she is, though.
No, but they said that the Oracle had been purged.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. And then once he re-enters the Matrix, he finds a moment of intense danger where his life is at risk. And when he's, like, put to the pressure, almost like he dies, I think. Yeah, he dies.
But when?
He comes back to life as the One.
In
the original Matrix, he gets shot right as he's trying to escape. He runs up to like this apartment building. He's about to get to the phone, and then Smith shoots him, or another one of the agents.
Oh, he actually died.
Yeah.
Oh.
And then that's when Trinity reveals that she's, like, in love with him and stuff, and that he can't die because the Oracle told her that she will fall in love with the One. Mm-hmm. And so he kind of, like, comes back to life, and that's when he eats Agent Smith. Huh? He kind of eats Agent Smith. He absorbs him into himself. Oh, no, he goes into Agent Smith and then breaks out of Agent Smith, and Agent Smith blows up. Have you watched The Matrix?
Why are you staring at me
with those confused eyes?
The Matrix is weird, man. I don't know.
I'll say this. I think that, considering this is all like Warner Brothers, HBO, I really wouldn't be surprised if what ends up happening is that they don't do more films, but instead they do like a 6-part or 8-part series. Mm. That would be interesting to me. Because then you could really take your time and explore all these new characters. Like Bugs. Bugs was a pretty cool character. I think that would probably be a better bet than trying to like make more Matrix movies. Because at least that way you're doing something different and something new. You're not going to keep on having people compare the new Matrix movies to the originals. Because you can't compare.
You can't.
You're never going to recreate that feeling. Yeah, you just can't recreate that feeling, man. You really can't. But a series, that's different. Because now you take your time, you create new stakes, you create new challenges, you know? Mm-hmm. Explore that new world, because it is pretty new. Any last thoughts about The Matrix Revolutions? Resurrections? What would you give it a star rating out of 5?
5? Mm-hmm. 3?
Mm. Yeah, I'm going to give it a... I'll give it a 2.5.
All right.
2.5. That works.
Right.
All right, next item, Hawkeye series finale. Now, looking at the series as a whole, now that it finally finished, we saw the ending. Spoiler alert, if you haven't seen Hawkeye and you want to finish the series, skip forward a few minutes. Now that we've finally seen the conclusion, what did you think of the show as a whole?
Cool.
Yeah?
It was good. It was really good.
For me, it's definitely, from all the stuff that has come out on Disney Plus from Marvel Studios, it's top 3. Maybe the set number 2, honestly, from that.
Really?
Group. Yeah. Easily. Like, I think for me right now, not to get into rankings before the rankings, but like just from Disney Plus shows, I think it's WandaVision, Hawkeye, and Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Dang, so you're hating on Loki.
Sorry, man. Loki, I enjoyed it, but it's not fully my bag. Like, it was fun. And dang. I liked the world-building elements that it added to the MCU.
Such a whack as always. why are you hating on Loki like that?
Sorry, man. Sorry. I just like the more grounded shows better, says the guy who just said WandaVision is number 1. Anyway, so yeah, I love the series, man. I love what they did in the last 2 episodes with Yelena Belova. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really cool, like forwarding her character a little bit. Dude, the chemistry between Yelena and Kate Bishop. Come on. Am I the only one out here who has been like watching YouTube compilations of all the scenes between Yelena and Kate Bishop? Because I totally have.
Wait, is it the videos that are like Yelena Belova and Kate Bishop being best friends for 5 minutes?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, for like 9 minutes straight. I've seen already like 5 different versions of that. And it's hilarious, man. Like, their chemistry was so good. I can't wait to see those two in like another movie or a series together. They're just good together.
Yeah.
They're just good together. I love that chemistry. What else? The Kingpin reveal. How did you feel about that?
In the 5th episode?
They revealed him in the 5th one, and then we really saw him in the 6th. How do you feel about the character, like the reveal, and you know, how did he come across to you?
I've seen Kingpin in other things, like the Spider-Man video game and some comics. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And obviously I know who he is because I'm a geek. Mm-hmm. I think that actor... Mm-hmm. is perfect for that role.
Pretty good, right?
Yeah. Like, he's really good.
It was pretty interesting to me the way that they framed him very differently in this series than they did in the Daredevil series. Like, where the camera is positioned and stuff. Like, they clearly made an attempt to make him look huge. Mm-hmm. Which is really cool, because that's a thing in the comics about Kingpin, you know? Like, he is towering above everyone who he faces.
God, that's Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse Kingpin.
Yeah, that's a refrigerator. That's different. that's weird. Refrigerator with a head. So I like that. I like that they made him look big, right? And I like the first appearance when he came out with the classic cane with the diamond on top. Like, all that stuff was cool. White jet suit jacket, purple pants.
Oh, actually,
very classic.
When he was talking to Takazi and Maya,
yeah,
he was actually wearing the exact outfit that he wore on the cover of a Spider-Man comic.
The Hawaiian shirt?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That exact outfit.
Family Business or something like that. I never read that one. That, because I didn't know that, I was like, what the heck is this guy wearing? I never seen Kingpin wearing any sort of like Hawaiian shirt. So yeah. To me, that was like a shock. I was like, why is he, what's up with the hat he's wearing? But once I saw the comic photo, I'm like, oh, okay, I see a little bit of fan service there. However, the character did feel a little different from the Daredevil series.
Think so?
Yeah. He felt a little bit different. It feels like in this portrayal of Kingpin, they're going more for like the unstoppable force Kingpin rather than the criminal
crime
mafia
lord.
Yeah. Like, he really came across in the Daredevil series as, like, this mafia guy.
And, legit, like
barely anybody saw him ever. Mm. He was, like, the Kingpin was a name that you couldn't even utter, right? Like, there was a respect on his name. And, like, if you saw him, it's most likely because you were about to die.
Mm-hmm.
And he would never show up in public. He was very, very private.
But, like, legit, in this show, he was, like, he would talk to every one of his employees.
Yeah.
And he got hit, spoilers, he got hit by a car, he got electrocuted, he got blown up, and he supposedly got shot.
Yeah, and stabbed through with an arrow.
Yeah. we don't see a dead body, he's not dead. So, I mean, it's pretty obvious. How is this man still alive?
Yeah, in the comics, he's supposed to have, like more layers of muscle than any other person.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's like he's like a freak of nature in the comics.
Mm-hmm.
Also, in the Daredevil show, they establish that he has this, like, very specialized armor that he has woven inside of his suits.
Oh.
So, like, all his clothing has, like, a layer of armor inside of the fabric. Like, it's made by the same guy who creates Daredevil suit in the show.
I'm guessing, though, that he doesn't have armor inside of his skin on his head.
Probably not. But apparently in that comic that you were talking about earlier, apparently he gets shot in the eyes and he's blinded for a while.
Maybe that's what happened.
Well, clearly that's going to be explored in that Echo show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because...
That takes place... The Echo show is going to take place after Hawkeye, right?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. And I wouldn't be surprised if we see Charlie Cox's Daredevil show up in there. Like, there's some connection, I think, in the comics between Daredevil and Echo because they're both disabled in some way, you know? So, yeah, I'm guessing that we're going to see the continuation of this Kingpin in the Echo series and who knows where else. I'm definitely interested in seeing more. I am curious about how much they're going to tap into, if at all, the history from the Netflix show. I know that Disney doesn't want to point people towards a competitor, you know?
That's a competitor?
Netflix?
Oh.
Yeah, dude.
I actually saw on a YouTube video what it says on the Netflix shows. It says Marvel Television, and that's not the same thing.
It's not, but that's because back then Marvel Television was a separate studio.
Mm.
So there was a Marvel Television studio that handled all the shows that were, like, either on Netflix or on ABC.
Mm-hmm.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Inhumans, all that kind of stuff. Like, Marvel Television handled all that. But there was a recent move in the last couple of years where Kevin Feige was made lord and commander of all of it. So he is now in charge. Marvel Studios is now in charge of Marvel Television. Let's chat about Spider-Man's box office numbers. So far, domestically here in the U.S., the movie has over $550 million that it's made at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
Internationally, it's made over $640 million. Mm-hmm. That puts it at a global total, as of the recording of this show, at $1.2 $1 worldwide.
That's more dollars than the amount of humans that were on Earth at some point.
That's ridiculous, man.
That's too much money, honestly.
Spider-Man Far From Home made 1.1 billion.
This beat it already.
This beat that record.
Damn.
Let's see. Let me give you some other comparisons.
Endgame.
Let's see. Avengers Endgame did almost 2.8 billion.
Damn.
So that's the goal to beat, but I don't know if it's going to beat Endgame. That's a tough margin to reach.
I mean...
It could, though, honestly.
It has the potential.
Yeah.
It has the potential to beat it.
It could, man. It could. Let me give you some other comparisons. Let's see. Let me look for Black Panther. Black Panther was what, 2019, was it?
18.
2018? Okay, so 2018, Black Panther, 1.3 billion.
Okay.
It's almost there. It's about to beat Black Panther.
Infinity War. 2018.
Infinity War is 2 billion 48 million. So 2.048. It could beat Infinity War very easily, I think.
Really?
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's only been released for 15 days.
Really?
Yeah, just for 2 weeks. Only been released for 2 weeks. And it's crazy, man. This thing is really like making some serious money. And especially, again, considering that it's not an Avengers movie, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what makes it even more important. Like, this has now risen to a level of... the rare level that Black Panther rose to.
Mm-hmm.
For very different reasons, right? Because Black Panther was culturally very impactful.
Yeah.
But this one reached those same heights just because of how unique it is, you know?
Yeah.
I think very well deserved, bro. Sonic the Hedgehog made $319 million. That's so sad.
Is it sad?
That's pretty good, actually, for a video game movie.
Uh-huh. I mean, if I was the person who came up with the overall idea of Spider-Man No Way Home,
yeah,
I would be sitting in my chair with stacks of money, just like smiling.
Yeah,
I can buy every single PS5 game I want plus the PS5.
So far, at least like as far as like movies that we were into box office in 2021, Spider-Man is number one by quite a bit, by like $300 million.
What's below that?
The Battle at Lake Shajin. I think that's an Asian movie. I'm not exactly sure.
That's what number two.
As number two, yeah. But as far as like movies that we're familiar with, No Time to Die is number four at $774 million.
That's pretty good.
F9, The Fast Saga is $726 million. I did not contribute to that. Incredibly enough, Venom: Let There Be Carnage is $501 million.
Dang.
Yeah, Godzilla versus Kong was $467 million.
Okay.
Impressive, considering that a lot of theaters were still shut down back then.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Shang-Chi and The Legend of the Ten Rings at $432 million, and Eternals after that at $401 million. Dune is number 11, $394 million, and Black Widow is $379 million. And then the underdog of 2021, Free Guy, is after that, number 13, $331 million.
Free Guy is a good movie.
It's such a great movie, man.
So is Dune. I like Dune. I really like Dune.
I'm looking forward to that story.
They should make a Dune video game.
Ooh. Wait, don't they have one? I don't know.
What's this?
They should, though.
They should.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to go through our top 15 list of the content that we watched during 2021.
Now, this isn't... Yeah, it's not going to be any sort of, like... It's going to be every kind of content. Like, video games, mm-hmm. movies, shows.
Yeah, for sure. So, stick around. We'll be right back. Hello, friends. No T-shirt or Audible commercials this week. I just wanted to chat with you a little bit about our audio quality. Right now, we just moved into our new home,
and we're still in the process of setting things up. And of course, Joshua and I need plenty of setup to be able to record with the quality of audio that we were recording with before. So right now we're in a room that has a lot more echo than we would like. Just wanted to let you guys know that you should stick around, hang on, bear with us. Promise that we're going to get the audio back to a decent quality very, very soon. We're experimenting with a few setups, and we're almost there. So good audio will be back. In the meantime, just, you know, ignore the echo, 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 echo.
And we're back, and we are ready to go through our top 15, like, content lists of 2021.
Yes, sir. So did you actually have some video games in there?
I had 4 video games.
Oh, dang. Okay. And these are these video games that came out in 2021 or that you played in 2021? What are you basing that off?
Because I don't have video games in 2021.
List. Came out? Okay.
You don't have any video games?
No, not really. I mean, I barely played any video games except my blocks.
Your drop drop.
My drop drop game on my phone. It's like my go-to.
Yeah.
It's my boo. All right. So let's start off with number 15, all right?
All right.
All right. So number 15, top content from 2021. What you got?
I had The Suicide Squad.
Get the heck out. Me too.
For 15?
Yeah, that was my number 15 also. Oh, snap. By the way, we didn't like compare notes in this.
Yeah,
at
we
all.
Didn't. We didn't.
So we're totally finding this out right now. Oh, man. So our 15 was the same, and I'm pretty sure
our one is going to be the same.
Okay. The Suicide Squad. Why did it make the bottom of your list?
I mean, obviously I didn't hate it. I liked it. It was like, I didn't by any means not like any of these movies. I loved all these movies.
Yes, correct.
It's just that, like, this is the worst of the best.
Right.
Yeah, it's the worst of the best. It just didn't have, it didn't make me feel that feeling that I get from something like Endgame No Way Home.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't do that for me.
I think this was a movie that had cool moments.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as a whole, the movie actually, it did a really nice job of, like, starting a story and completing a story and making sense.
Mm-hmm.
But it just didn't have, as a whole, it didn't have, like, the oomph. I don't know how to describe it. It just didn't, it lacked something.
It didn't have the, when you're in a movie theater, and like in No Way Home, everybody's clapping, like everybody's cheering. It's like, let's go.
Yeah. I think it did do a better job of like digging deeper into some of the squad characters.
Mm-hmm.
But it lacked a certain feeling that a lot of these other things gave me. You know? All right, let's move on to number 14. What do you got at number 14?
I think that you are going to be very surprised by this.
Okay. If you say Spider-Man No Way Home, I'm shutting off this recording.
Yeah, no, it's not that. I promise.
Okay.
You're probably going to think that, like, I have no heart.
Okay.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
What? You're right. I am surprised. How dare you? Why? How is that possible?
It just...
Really?
It didn't give me that event feeling either.
Oh, my God. Okay, you know what? Fair enough.
The ending felt like a setup. For another movie.
Yeah. And the truth is, you don't have the same attachment to it that I would have. Like, the sentimental attachment, right? Like, I grew up with those movies, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They were part of my childhood. So, it makes sense, I guess, that I would be more. Because that movie was definitely, it was like a part rebooting and part nostalgia play.
And I'm not just saying that it's at the number 14 spot because I don't care that they were like doing tributes to the actor of Egon.
Sure.
Like that was.
No, yeah, you. That was amazing. During our review of the movie, you appreciated all that.
Yeah. It didn't give me that.
I get
feeling.
It. I get it. Yeah, I can understand. I don't share that, but I understand completely where you're coming from. My number 14 was Snake Eyes.
That's fair.
Is it really?
Yeah, that's fair.
Okay. Yeah, Snake Eyes was one that I was looking forward to catching, and we saw it, and it was entertaining to me. I like what they did. I like the setup. This I find more interesting than the original G.I. Joe movies.
Mm-hmm.
I like that it's like it took its time. It didn't give us Snake Eyes until the very end, and really it was just like a glimpse.
I really like that suit. I really like how he just like tapped his neck and like Star-Lord kind of helmet, like nanotechnology.
Yeah. I like the world that they set up, that where like Cobra and G.I. Joe have been at war, and like they tied his dad into it by revealing that he was a Joe.
Mm-hmm.
I like Scarlet. I like the little bit that we got of her, and I'm looking forward to seeing more. I like the setup of Storm Shadow, like the whole backstory of him and Storm Shadow. That was cool. I like the Japanese ninja clan side of it, like that. Part
yeah,
was really
the
cool
the Arashikage.
You're welcome. Bless you. so yes. I liked the movie, but it just didn't give me really any feels at all. You know, like a lot of these other flicks.
Yeah.
All right, number 13, what do you got?
Number 13, I actually have Mortal Kombat.
Okay. Okay.
What do you got?
I'll take this opportunity to say that Mortal Kombat didn't make my top 15.
At all?
At all.
All right.
Yeah. I got Krilla.
Okay.
So let me explain.
What is that? Is that some kind of like? Is that some kind of virus that you get on your left eyeball?
Look, man, Cruella.
Oh, Cruella! Oh, I thought you said Krella.
No, man. Jesus, Cruella, Cruella, Cruella de Vil. That movie surprised the heck out of me. Like, I did not expect at all to like that movie as much as I did.
It's good.
That was a good movie, man.
Let me see.
It made me care about a character that, frankly, I didn't care much about.
Frick, I didn't put it on my list.
Oh, there you go. And it gave me feelings of, like, this is badass. Like, this character is badass. Especially, all the, like, guerrilla warfare type of attacks that she did against the other clothing, the fashion designer.
Especially those those fashion moments where, like, where she had the dress made out of the newspapers about her being the fashion queen.
Right. Or, like, the trash can thing. Remember that?
Hmm?
The truck.
Mm-hmm.
Garbage truck thing where like it started unraveling, like it looked like a whole bunch of like random pieces of cloth, and then it ended up being part of her dress as the truck drove away.
Yeah,
it's just like, and Emma Stone, like she did an amazing job.
Yeah,
she's such a badass actress, and she showed it, and she gave so much personality to that character. I really, really enjoyed that movie. Again, enough that in a world full of a lot of other great content, it made my top 15 list. It impressed me that much. All right, what do you got for number 12?
Number 12, I have Hitman 3.
Huh, okay.
So you haven't played this game.
I haven't, no.
Even though you said that you would. You probably don't remember this. You promised me that you would play it eventually.
Well, that's the thing. Eventually means while I'm still alive. So technically, in a couple of years, I could get around to it. You know what I'm saying? So, okay. Yeah, I haven't lied, technically.
But Hitman 3 is...
You consider it the best of the Hitman games?
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
Since I actually played... I don't have the other Hitman games, but I played them at, like, friends' houses.
Yeah.
And Hitman 3 is... It's definitely... It has really good locations. Okay. I really like the location design.
Mm-hmm.
Especially the first mission of the game. They were in the Burj Khalifa. I'm sorry if I'm not saying it right.
Right.
That's the tallest building in the world in Dubai. Mm-hmm. That was so cool.
Really?
What I also love about all the Hitman games is how there's so many ways to take out your targets.
Yeah.
Like, you could poison one. You could, like, push him off the tallest building in the world.
Yikes.
You could, like, contract a sniper. Like, there's so many ways.
You can contract a sniper?
Yeah. And, or you can...
That's cool.
You can, like...
you don't snipe them yourself.
Yeah. Like, you can go on a radio with the sniper.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, for example, if you're, like, bodyguard snipers up in a tower, you can go on the radio with the sniper and then say that there's a threat. And the threat is your target. And then you tell them to snipe that target out.
That's pretty cool. Brotherhood style.
Yeah.
I respect that. All right, for my number 12, I got Black Widow, the movie. Obviously.
That's fair.
Yeah, I enjoyed that movie. I love the whole backstory, like all the scenes from the past with Natasha and her makeshift family.
Weren't people crapping on that movie?
They were crapping on it. It's just like it was kind of underwhelming in a way. For me, I'm just talking for myself. For me, the only underwhelming part of it is that I feel like I wish it would have come at a more proper time.
Mm-hmm.
Before we saw the death of Natasha.
Like, yeah.
That would have been incredible to me if it would have come right after Captain America Civil War, which it eventually ties into at the end, you know? If I would have gotten it back then, it would have just felt so much more relevant. But regardless, Yelena Belova being introduced was awesome. I personally love Red Guardian. The whole Red Room, finally seeing that, like really seeing it up close. We've gotten so many teases about the Red Room. So seeing it up close was really cool. And yeah, just again, being introduced to like the next Black Widow, who was going to most likely carry the legacy of Black Widow.
Yeah.
Was awesome. And honestly, Florence Pugh, man, especially after Hawkeye, she's a freaking gem. What a great character to have in the MCU. I love her. So yeah, that's my number 12, Black Widow. What do you got for number 11?
Number 11, I have... Wait, we just did 12, right?
Yeah.
Number 11, you're probably going to hate me for this.
Oh boy.
Shang-Chi.
Okay, as number 11.
Yeah.
Okay, why? What do you feel it lacked? Because we both enjoyed that movie, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like it went a little bit too far with the mystical, magical creature side of it.
Right.
I mean, I feel like...
the kaiju.
There was literally a Godzilla Monsterverse level kaiju fight at the end.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole like dark demon thing inside that big wall,
uh-huh.
That was a little too much. And that giant... the giant, like, Lord of the Demons was a little too much. I think that's what really lacked this for me.
Okay.
And, of course, I think the only movies that I'm going to say actually felt like events are in my top four.
Okay.
So, obviously, this movie didn't feel like a whole event.
Well, this was definitely not an event movie. This was an origin story.
Yeah.
Very much an origin story. But to me, it's probably... the coolest of the origin stories so far in Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's better than Captain Marvel. Okay, maybe not cooler than Iron Man. I take that back. Number two. Second spot. Yeah. But cooler than Doctor Strange, even though I love Doctor Strange as an origin story.
Cooler than the Spider-Man 3 movie long origin story.
Yeah. cooler than First Avenger, I think, than Thor 1. I honestly, like, this is really my number two origin story from Marvel so far.
Mm-hmm.
I really enjoyed it. All right, so for number... Wait, where are we at? 11.
Yeah, for you.
For my number 11, I've got Falcon and the Winter Soldier. The Disney Plus series. Yeah.
I thought you liked that show more than 11.
I know,
11.
Right? I knew. That's why I kept on like renegotiating this list. I'm like, hold on. But what I was chasing with this list was like trying to figure out what gave me the feelings, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like that feeling of like, oh my God, this is exciting. Like, and Falcon and Winter Soldier had really exciting episodes. And really exciting moments, but as a whole, as a series, it didn't have the same impact that a couple of other series that I'll go over later had.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved it. Again, that's why I made my top 15 list.
Yeah.
I've got, by the way, I've got 12 additional honorable mentions.
I have one honorable mention.
One? Okay. And then I've also got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, like 10 others that aren't really like sci-fi stuff. That I left out. So I've got a long list, which means that Falcon and Winter Soldier being my number 11, it says a lot. Like, I really love it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, what do you got for number 10?
Snake Eyes.
Oh, really?
G.I. Joe Origins.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anything to add about this?
Definitely not an event movie. It was really good.
Okay.
I really like the Snake Eyes suit. I really like how Snake Eyes got his name.
What was your number 14 again?
My number 14?
Yeah.
Mortal Kombat.
And 13?
13? That was Shang-Chi.
You liked Snake Eyes more than Shang-Chi?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
See, now this is an interesting comparison because both of these flicks were like very heavily martial arts influenced, right?
Mm.
Like those two movies stood out to me and they kind of came out around the same time.
Yeah.
So like those two stood out to me and I almost compared a lot of the actors and the action and stuff. And so like to me, Shang-Chi was like the superior martial arts
flick. They were also both like the cast was like the majority of the cast was Asian.
Yeah, for sure. Right.
In
right,
both
right.
of those movies.
Yes, they had that in common as well. Right. Okay, so you like Snake Eyes better than Shang-Chi Legend of the Ten Rings. Tell me why. What tipped that one above the other one?
So I already said it a little bit.
Uh huh.
But I really like the new kind of direction that they're going for the G.I. Joe movie series.
Right.
I think if they do. If they do a couple more G.I. Joe Origins movies for, like, the really important characters, then I feel like they can do a full G.I. Joe, like, blockbuster.
Yeah. Right. I agree. And you know what? You do have more of a connection to Snake Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
You got the toy.
He's my favorite G.I. Joe.
Comics. Right. You've gotten into Snake Eyes. So it actually does make sense that this one might tip higher for you than Shang-Chi. Because Shang-Chi is like unknown. It was unknown to you, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough. All right, we're in 10, right? Yes. In my number 10 spot, I've got Dune.
Dune?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Dune in number 10 because it was... I've never seen the original Dune movie.
You don't want to.
Well... No, I really don't.
You don't.
This is one of those properties that I know. I've always known that Dune was a classic. I know that it inspired a lot of Star Wars. I know that it inspired a lot of other sci-fi. But it just was never a thing that I decided to get into. So I came into this world with like fresh eyes, you know?
Yeah.
In this new Dune movie. And I loved it. I thought the movie
was amazing.
Fantastic, man.
Especially, I feel like one thing that Dune is like really focused on the new 2021 movie is the environment.
Yeah.
Especially on the planet that they were on before, before they went to Arrakis.
Yeah.
That planet was freaking beautiful.
It was like a paradise, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, yeah, it was incredible. Actually, like seeing that movie, I was like, man, this is actually something that I always wanted from Star Wars.
Because
in Star Wars, in the original trilogy, you see so many different worlds teased and so many different alien species. And I always wanted to, like, see their worlds, you know?
Yeah.
And we got a lot of that in Star Wars, The Clone Wars, the cartoons, which I really loved. Like, getting to see these cultures. We're getting even more of it with, like, the Disney Plus shows, The Mandalorian, Book of Boba Fett.
I think that... In one of the trailers for this movie, Dune 2021, it said the next Star Wars and Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
I think it could be.
Yeah, in a way. Yeah. It has some elements of like Game of Thrones built into it too, I think. Yeah. But again, all these things came after the original Dune, right? We got to remember that.
Yeah.
So it's the other way around. It's like, you know, this thing probably inspired a lot of people when they were kids, you know? Inspired their creativity to come up with all these new series that we've seen now. But yeah, great flick. But it was lacking certain emotion. You know? Like, I followed Atreides in his journey into Arrakis and into, like, discovering himself in a way. And,
Paul?
Huh?
Paul? The main character?
Paul Atreides, yeah.
Yeah.
I followed him in his journey and it was interesting to me. But the more interesting part of this, I feel, was the world.
Mm.
The world building. Because that's something that really catches me with sci-fi. It's interesting new worlds. But there wasn't like the emotion and the connection at the emotional level that I have with a lot of other things. You know, So that's the reason why, yes, it's in my top 10, but it's all the way at the bottom of my top 10.
Yeah.
All right, number 9, what do you got?
Hawkeye.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I forgive you for that.
Are you mad at me?
You've brought a great offense upon our house.
Okay.
House Aguirre.
You
enjoyed it for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was really good. It was definitely more human level It was definitely a more human level Disney Plus show, though.
Yeah.
Much like Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Mm-hmm.
It was very ground level.
Grounded, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's I think what
you prefer the more top like higher level action from MCU.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. Fair enough. And number nine, I've got Free Guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Free Guy to me was like one of the biggest surprises of 2021.
I honestly thought that movie came out like 2 years ago. there have been trailers since like 3 years back.
There were, right? And it got caught in the first thing it got caught in was in the purchase of Fox by Disney.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It was a Fox movie.
Yeah.
And so it got caught in that, right? Because Disney took it over. Disney was then like holding back on releasing it. Then comes a pandemic. Theaters shut down. So that's like another year and a half
mm-hmm.
of like no release. And then finally it releases at a moment where there's still theaters that are reopening or that are shut down. And I feel like it went under the radar for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go and we watch it because it's like, wow, we've seen the trailer so many times by now. Let's go check it out.
Yeah.
And then it's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a freaking awesome movie,
It
man.
Has so many sci-fi references. It has freaking Chris Evans. It has all of the people that I care about on YouTube. Everyone.
It really is. It's Ryan Reynolds like at his best. Mm-hmm. You know, he's goofy. He's funny. He's like fun to go along this journey with. But also, it has a lot of heart. Like the other characters and like the plot of the movie has a lot of feeling to it. It actually has a lot of heart to it. And it's beautiful. There's like a beautiful message really in there. So, yes, I love the movie. Totally surprised me, but there were clearly things that were superior to it in 2021.
Yeah.
What do you got for number eight?
For number eight, I have Fortnite Chapter 3.
Oh, snap. Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So, really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Okay.
So this, you might be like, wait, what? How is Fortnite Chapter 3 a piece of content? Well, to you, I say, I don't care what you think. So Fortnite Chapter 3.
It is content, yeah.
It is. Fortnite Chapter 3 introduced a whole, like, a bunch of new weapons. It introduced a bunch of new mechanics. And it just looks cool. Like, it has a bunch of new, it has Spider-Man. It has Spider-Man web swinging. You said that you've played it and you've seen people swinging around, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's as good as the Spider-Man game. I think you exaggerated in that.
Yeah, I never said it was as good as the Spider-Man game.
Yes, you did. You literally said that
to me.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, you did.
But it's better than the Marvel Avengers game.
Okay, that I wouldn't know because you're the one really that's played that.
Yeah, so
it's pretty cool. It's interesting. It's like an interesting mechanic to have in Fortnite.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, they also had a recent Matrix crossover.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. They also have a Karate Kid crossover. No, Cobra Kai crossover.
Really?
Yeah, Cobra Kai.
So you got, like, Danielson walking around with a machine gun?
No,
Fortnite
okay.
has gone too far.
No, you know how...
Good God.
You know how they had the Ghostbusters skins, but it wasn't actually the Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
It was that.
Oh.
It was the Wackazoid thing again, where they just get the default skins and put on different clothes.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me to see a bunch of Cobra Kai martial arts students whipping out machine guns at this point. Like... Yeah, strike first, shoot first. Good God.
Yeah, but chapter 3, Fortnite chapter 3.
Yeah.
Every time that there's a new chapter.
Yeah.
Like, things change.
True.
Drastically.
Yeah.
So, this is why.
I don't know how drastically things change, honestly, between chapter 2 and chapter 3. Like, I don't see drastic changes. I see a new environments, you know, and that's always fun to explore. But as far as game mechanics, now we can slide. That's kind of cool.
You can break trees in half and then, like, fall apart.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few little, you know, game mechanics that were introduced. But I'm guessing they're reserving some stuff to reveal throughout season 3. Chapter 3, hopefully. That was a thing. I actually got the comic for Fortnite and Batman crossover, like they continued that with the Foundation.
Oh yeah, you got that?
Yeah, I got it. So I want to check it out. I still have it there. I haven't read it yet. But I'm looking forward to seeing what happens there.
What you have for number eight?
In number eight, I got Godzilla versus Kong.
That is very fair.
Yeah.
That's very fair.
Man, look, and this movie was, I debated, because there were a lot of other good movies, right? Like, what, Godzilla versus Kong higher than Falcon Winter Soldier, Black Widow, all that, but Godzilla versus Kong mattered a lot to me because I had followed this MonsterVerse from like the first 2014 Godzilla,
mm-hmm.
and I loved it. Like, I loved when I saw that it was going to be interconnected and that they were leading towards Godzilla fighting King Kong. I was like, yes, give me that. And I almost wish that this movie wouldn't have had to be released in the pandemic and that it wouldn't have been released on HBO Max simultaneously.
It would have been so cool.
Yeah, man.
Sadly, we weren't able to see it in theaters.
Right.
But
Man, yeah, that's right, because of like the traffic car crash or whatever had happened.
Yeah.
We weren't able to get to the theater, so we had to like improvise and watch it at home over with Chinese food, which was great. But yeah, man, Godzilla vs. Kong, I loved that movie. It was a culmination of a lot for me as a fan of the MonsterVerse.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just epic, bro. Come on, yeah, it's like, Godzilla vs. Kong. Like,
and then eventually at the end, spoilers, Godzilla and Kong versus Mechagodzilla.
So great.
In Mechagodzilla, had like the mind of King Ghidorah. So he had a really good reason to want to kill Godzilla.
So great, man. I loved it. It was so much fun. All right, what you got for number seven?
Number seven, Dune.
Okay. All right. And we talked about Dune. We talked about what we liked.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So number seven, I had it at number 10. Mm-hmm. So you clearly...
I like it. Yeah. More than you do.
You know what? I could see why you would be impacted like by a movie like Dune, because it really did feel like something different.
Mm-hmm.
It felt and looked like something different.
It just... I think the
concept... Because it's a new world, and we're submerged in so many worlds that are ongoing that it's kind of like weird to see a new world introduced to us, you know?
Yeah, it's just such a different concept.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do. In case you didn't know, I'm actually, every day, I'm mm-hmm. coming up with new aspects.
Yeah.
Because I'm actually making, I want to make a comic.
Yeah.
And I want to make it original.
Nice.
I want to make it, like, something new. And kind of like how Dune did that. Like, it's a new world.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
So is that a 2022 project?
Yes.
High five. I'll back you up.
And then when I finally finish it,
yeah.
we can release it on geekology101.com as merch so that people can buy my comic.
I like that. I'm with that, man. I'll back you up for sure. All right, number seven. What do you got?
We just did that. It's your turn to say number seven.
I was talking to myself. Not really. Number seven, I got Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings.
Okay.
Which I've already spoken about. You know, I feel like that was one of the coolest things in 2021. It was different. One of my top two origin stories from the MCU. Loved it.
Mm-hmm.
What you got for number six?
Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Huh.
I just really... The thing that I love about this show...
Yeah.
Is kind of the... cultural and like racial implication.
Yeah. That was powerful, man.
Mm-hmm.
Heck yeah. Isaiah Bradley.
Mm-hmm.
That might have been my favorite part of that whole series.
The first African American
Captain America.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, that was cool. And I really hope that character comes back.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, we've got the new Captain America movie coming up.
There's a new Captain America movie coming out?
Yeah, directed by the same guy who directed Falcon and Winter Soldier.
I did not know there was a new Captain America movie coming out.
Yeah, dude. Falcon Captain America.
Oh.
Sam Wilson Captain America.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's been confirmed already. It got confirmed right after the series ended.
Mm.
So, and by the way, like, seeing him come out with a suit for the first time, oh, come on, man.
Mm-hmm.
So freaking cool.
It would be, okay, this is kind of cringy. It would be cool if the name... For the new Captain America movie,
uh-huh.
is like it has something to do with like a bird phrase, like Captain America, early bird gets the word.
Oh Jesus! I thought you were gonna come out with something cool, like, you know, first flight. Hey, that's kind of cool. First Avenger, first flight.
Send this to Marvel. Send this to Marvel.
First flight. Ooh, that's kind of dope. I like that. Anyway, yeah. What number was that for you?
Six. No. Wow. Wait, did you reveal your six?
No, not yet.
What's your six?
My number six is Hawkeye.
I respect that.
Yeah.
I respect that.
Yeah, number six. Man, Hawkeye to me was... So, I love the Clint character as opposed to a lot of people in the geek community. I love the Hawkeye Clint character throughout all the MCU movies. I always wanted more of him. Mm-hmm. So, when the series got announced and it was, you know, I knew that it was like with Kate Bishop, I was like, yes, you know, because I read those comics and it got me really excited about it. So, I was hoping that it was going to be good. I got to be honest, there was a little part of me in the back of my head that I was like preparing myself for disappointment. Mm-hmm. Because I was like, well, it is Hawkeye. And they haven't done a whole lot, you know, to like show us how much of a badass Hawkeye is. Like seeing him as Ronin a little bit in Endgame was like the most like ruthless side of him that we've seen, you know? Yeah. But as Hawkeye, there was always just like little moments, you know, when he would do something at the right precise spot. But this show just made him shine, man. Like, it made him shine, and it made us, like, fall in love with Kate Bishop. Mm-hmm. And their dynamic together was awesome. His whole thing of losing his hearing, the whole thing with his family, the reveal at the end that basically with the whole watch thing, that his wife is Mockingbird, or she was Mockingbird, age 19. Yeah. That was really cool. Of course, bringing Kingpin into the MCU, played by Vincent D'Onofrio.
Immediately having both of his eyes shot out.
Well, we don't know if that's what happened. But yeah, and not leaving the whole Ronin thing just hanging, but on the contrary, like getting deeper into how controversial that character was, you know, mm-hmm. and that persona that he took on. And like the sins of his past chasing him, you know, mm-hmm. catching up to him.
It was so cool when they burned the suit. And yeah. Even when we were watching that, you were like, yes, please burn this. Yeah.
For real. So yeah, man, that entire series was just awesome. I felt like the season finale was a little bit, I think it was one of the better endings to the Disney Plus series, mm-hmm. but it was still not better than the other episodes of the series. Mm-hmm. You know, I think
But what was your favorite episode of the series?
Man, I think this third episode was awesome.
Echoes?
No, the second episode was awesome. With the Pym arrow.
Oh yeah, no, that was the third episode.
Was it the third? Okay, mm-hmm. Yeah, the third. Like when we get to see the trick arrows at work, because mm-hmm. they really built that up. I love that. They were really smart about that. That episode was awesome. The whole Echo thing, like her introduction with her dad and all that, was awesome. And then. I think when Yelena shows up, that episode was really exciting. But then it's like the little moments, like them sharing Christmas together, you know? Mm-hmm. That was really, really cool. All the little world-building things. Rogers the Musical, Thanos was right. All those things to me were like super cool. Yeah, this series was just awesome. And it had that feel-good thing to it. Mm-hmm. There was something about it that just made me feel good, you know? And again, that was really important for me in the ranking of this list. So yeah, Hawkeye's my number six. What do you got for number five?
Loki.
Really?
Do you have Loki anywhere on your list?
Sorry, man. It's in my honorable mentions. I'm sorry. Look, man. Don't get me wrong.
It's not even at your bottom spot.
I enjoyed Loki, but I didn't love Loki.
Dookies.
I'm sorry, man.
Dude.
I'll say this for it. I thought, like and I mentioned before on the podcast, I thought that Loki was just going to be like a cash grab because everybody loves Tom Hiddleston as Loki. I thought that it was Marvel cashing in on that. And it ended up being a much more important show, really, than what I ever thought it was going to be. Of course, Tom Hiddleston is amazing as Loki. Sylvie was awesome. We got to meet an iteration, a version of a variant of Kang. That was great. Mm-hmm.
Well, technically,
Mobius. Kang... Mobius to me was one of the best parts of that show. Mm-hmm. Oh, come on, man. Owen Wilson.
Jesus. Technically, Kang is a variant of him.
Yeah. Tomatoes, tomatoes, I suppose. But yeah, no, I love Loki, but it just, I'm sorry, man. There were just a lot of, all these other things that I mentioned so far to me were much more impactful or important than Loki.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you like it so much?
I think what it taught us about time and variance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it? The educational value? Of, yeah. Yeah, it was kind of like an encyclopedia for a corner of the MCU that we really had no idea about. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. It, like I said before, it was really important. Like, it brought very important elements to the MCU.
Especially with No Way Home. Like, how villains were variants.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, it made all that possible. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It made all of that possible. All right, number five. Oh, that is your number five.
Yeah, what's
my
your
number five? Is Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Well,
yeah,
that is kind of funny.
Why?
Because actually, I'll let you talk and then I'll say
Zack Snyder's Justice League to me was I love DC, you know, I love the vision that Zack Snyder began with Man of Steel. I personally love Batman vs. Superman, the director's cut, the special, the ultimate edition,
because
that was more his complete vision, Zack Snyder's. And then Justice League, the first movie, was so disappointing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've talked here ad nauseum about the drama behind the scenes, you know, with Joss Whedon coming on and all the craziness that has come out in the years since about the making of that movie. But the fact that this was, I mean, talk about an event. This was Warner Brothers basically obeying the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Hashtag release the Snyder Cut was running for years.
I said before that the actual event movies start at number four for me.
I agree. Well, for me at number five.
Okay, well.
For me at number five. And yeah, so just, I mean, come on, man. I love this. Yeah. I love Zack Snyder Justice League. It was so cool. And it was at the event, right? Of four hours in total, was it?
Mm-hmm.
4 hours, seven parts. Like, whew, amazing.
And I've got to say.
Yeah.
I guess I love it a little bit more than you.
Oh, that's messed
up. Zack Snyder's Justice League is at number four for me.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. Look, man, I love Zack Snyder's Justice League.
All the same reasons as you.
Oh, yeah, makes sense. But my number four is the culmination, the ending, the bow tying up the whole saga of Daniel Craig's James Bond in No Time to Die. Just epic. That whole series of movies made me fall in love with the James Bond character. I never cared about James Bond until Casino Royale.
Daniel Craig?
Yeah, until Casino Royale. I thought that was such a superb movie. And then it was like a little bit of a up and down, with the up in the middle being Skyfall.
Yeah, Skyfall is amazing.
Such a great movie. And then it culminated, honestly, in a way that I think is completely fair. It's poetic justice. It is the curse of James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
Similar to Spidey, right?
Yeah.
Like, there is no happiness for James Bond.
Mm-hmm.
He's dedicated to the cause. He's dedicated to the mission. And there's no room for his own happiness. And it's sad. It's tragic. But it's his hero's journey, you know?
Yeah.
And I love the way that the movie was concluded. The series was the saga of Daniel Craig's James Bond was concluded. I loved it.
I really love how at the beginning when he got exploded by that lady's grave.
Yeah.
And then like he doesn't have any time. He can't waste any time on dying.
Right. Yeah.
He literally has. He doesn't have any time to die.
Yeah. Yeah. So great, man. What a movie. That was an awesome experience. So yeah, that's my number four. 007, No Time to Die. What about you? What do you got for number, where are we at? Three.
Free Guy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
This high up?
Yeah.
Top three?
Uh-huh.
Wow.
A lot of the contribution to that was just all of the, like, geekdom stuff in it.
Okay.
Like the cap shield, the portal guns, the Fortnite smasher, the Fortnite glider, Chris Evans.
Dude, Chris Evans was on for like a second and a half. Why are you so obsessed with Chris Evans?
Because I'm surprised that they were able to get him on here.
what the sh...
Dan TDM, Jacksepticeye, Ninja, Pokimane.
Okay, you know what? I kind of get why it was so important to you. And then the video game thing, mm-hmm. you know, the whole... Yeah, you're right. I can see why.
Yeah.
I can see why. I had Free Guy at number 9, but I can see why it would matter much more to you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What's your number?
This is interesting. What's your number 9? What was your number 9?
My number 9 was Hawkeye.
Oh, okay. Where did you have Ghostbusters Afterlife?
I had that at 12.
Okay. Because I have Ghostbusters Afterlife as my number 3.
Really?
Yeah. Definitely top 3, man. Like, as far as, like, feelings, this movie gave me the feel. I mean, I literally laughed, cried, gasped. Like, it was fan service, you know? And it was beautiful fan service.
As a person who was there, I can confirm that he's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, man.
I think our number 1 and our number 2 might be the same.
What? Wait, what's your number 2?
WandaVision?
Yeah! Let's high five, go! Dude, yes! Heck
Let's,
yeah!
Really?
Yeah, man. Absolutely WandaVision, bro.
Let's go!
Yeah. Oh, man, come on. Look. Honestly, aside from Spider-Man No Way Home, WandaVision got the whole world talking. Even non-MCU fans, non-comic fans, like, everyone was trying to, like, get in on what the heck is happening with this weird show, WandaVision.
Yeah.
And that in itself, like, as far as feeling goes, like, come on. There is nothing else that's been on TV this year that made the world feel like WandaVision made them feel.
Yeah.
And, like, the beauty of it, the commentary that it is on, like, grief, the homage that it paid to classic television... And the history of television.
I think there's one scene. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's one line from Vision.
Yeah.
That I think just portrays. That I think just like it is WandaVision.
What is grief if not love persevering?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. Come on. The chills, man. The chills. What a show. And most impressively that with all this feeling, right? With all this like... beautiful story that unfolded, this whole series ended up being very similar to Spider-Man Far From Home, No Way Home, ended up being like a really long origin story.
Yeah.
Like from when we first got introduced to Wanda way back in
now she's in actually Age of Ultron. Scarlet Witch.
Yeah. Like all of this stuff that she lived, you know, was like her origin story leading to her becoming Scarlet Witch.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're going to get to see her in Multiverse of Madness, like as her Scarlet Witch self.
Yeah.
Which is freaking exciting, right? Yeah, man, WandaVision. What a phenomenon. It is honestly, I think, one of the best things that has come out of Marvel Studios. Inventive, different, fresh, unique. It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was awesome. And it introduced us to a lot of characters, too. Mm-hmm. Right? Most importantly, Monica Rambeau.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was really cool. And then...
Agatha Harkness.
Agatha.
It was Agatha all along.
She won a freaking, what was it, a Grammy for that thing?
She won a Grammy.
Didn't they win a Grammy?
I don't know.
Hold on, wait.
She deserves it if she did.
Wait. The show was nominated for a Grammy.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't win the Grammy. What it won was an Emmy.
Mm-hmm.
The Emmys are for like television. Yeah. And so it won the Emmy for like outstanding song in a show or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like... seconds. Like this thing was like a minute and a half or something.
Yeah, it was top trending on Apple iTunes. Music.
Yeah, yeah, iTunes. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like it was the number one in the charts. That's insanity.
And it was only and we only heard it for like 1 minute of our lives.
Yeah. But the whole build-up in that reveal was so great, you know? Mm-hmm. We all knew. Like anyone with their ear to like geeky news and stuff. We knew that she was most likely going to be Agatha Harkness.
Agatha Harkness.
Right. Yeah. So, like, we were expecting this, but even though we were expecting it, it still managed to surprise.
Mm-hmm.
Very similar to the number one spot.
Now, let's say this together, because yes. It is obviously
the
same.
It is.
All right. Three, two, one. Spider-Man No Way Home.
Absolutely. I mean, come on.
Number one in every single piece of content that I care about.
No doubt.
In 2021.
Yeah, man. This movie, it's so many things. This movie was so unexpected in how big it felt. any criticism that we've had so far of Sony, it's kind of gone out the door with this movie.
Mm-hmm.
John Watts, by the way, the director of this movie. Like, look at what he did with Spider-Man across these three movies. Having to count for all this interconnectedness. And then in this third movie, not only the connectedness to the MCU, but also the two other Raimi and Mark Webb films. Like, that is a lie. He pulled it off.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Russo and Joe Russo style. You mm-hmm. know? And this is the guy who's going to direct Fantastic Four, man. But yeah, definitely. Spider-Man No Way Home is absolutely the number one film of 2021. The number one anything of 2021.
Yeah.
Is just epic, man. History making. And I love that even within, you know, still technically being in the pandemic times, we were able to enjoy something like this. It was awesome. The energy in the theaters, man.
Yeah.
Let the crowd reaction videos unleash. Mm-hmm. I'm sure there's going to be tons and tons being released little by little. So
especially in the first day.
Yeah.
In the first day,
man.
that movie comes out.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, my God. The cheers, the excitement in the air. It was like energy in the air.
Mm-hmm.
I got to imagine that Spider-Man No Way Home and WandaVision are probably in the top three of a lot of people's mm-hmm. content for this year. And we hope that we reminded you throughout our list of a lot of content that we could have forgotten about.
Because mm-hmm.
as we were preparing for this episode, we realized, like, oh, my God, I forgot this was in 2021 as well.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot, honestly, that WandaVision was 2021.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. And as far as honorable mentions, by the way, you had an honorable mention. What was yours?
My honorable mention was actually Attack on Titan, the fourth season.
Okay, which only half of it has come out so far, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But, I mean, I'm reading I actually got the manga.
Yeah.
Of the final season.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing.
Let me give you my honorable mentions. This is in no particular order. Venom, Let There Be Carnage.
Yes.
I enjoyed the movie, but honestly, like, I was pretty disappointed with the storyline of Carnage. And I feel like this movie should have been rated R. And Shriek should probably not have been in this movie. And
although we are getting Toxin with that cop guy.
I don't need Toxin, bro. I just wanted a good Carnage. I'm sorry. I can't. But yeah, it was just the best part about this movie was Tom Hardy and Venom. I've also got Loki, which I mentioned before. I've got Mortal Kombat in there, the movie. I've got Matrix Resurrections in there as an honorable mention. Invincible, the animated show from Amazon Prime. Awesome, awesome show. I've got Eternals on there.
Mm.
Eternals was I enjoyed it, but it wasn't like a wow movie at all. Masters of the Universe Revelations, the Kevin Smith
Orko
show.
Orko. Which,
yeah.
If
the Rise of Orko.
If Echo is getting her own spin-off show, then Orko deserves his own spin-off show.
You might be right. Army of the Dead, Zack Snyder's zombie flick. That was a fun time. I liked that movie. I enjoyed it, but
it was good.
Again, it wasn't like a wow. The Tomorrow War, Amazon Prime show movie, but with
Chris Pratt.
I liked it. I enjoyed it. I thought it was an interesting concept, but again, not really worthy of my top 15. The Bad Batch. I was so looking forward to the show. I loved The Bad Batch. In the seventh season of Clone Wars, the final season of Clone Wars, I loved how they introduced the Bad Batch.
The first half of the Bad Batch show was good.
No, I disagree. I don't think that this show did justice at all to the Bad Batch. I don't think so. I was really disappointed with that show.
Really? But like all of it?
The majority of it, yeah. I really think that whole storyline with Omega, like the female clone, like it just completely derailed what could have been a really action-packed, like badass, special forces type of show. They just dropped that completely. Like, these guys were on the run, running away, or like feeling overwhelmed for the majority of the show, and that is not how they were presented in Clone Wars.
Mm-hmm.
This was the squad that you brought in for the difficult missions.
Yeah.
And I didn't see that. I didn't feel that in the show at all.
Also, that stupid lady who sold like missions to them, like that went on for like the whole second half of the thing.
You're absolutely right. That went on for way too long. So yeah, that show was disappointing to me, but it was nice to see more of those characters because I love those characters.
Mm-hmm.
What If, honorable mention. I thought that some parts of it were enjoyable as a whole. I don't think I think they wrapped it up nicely, the way that they brought it all together.
What if the Watcher broke his oath?
Yeah.
That was a good episode.
That was cool, yeah. But along the way, there were just episodes. Like, Party Thor, to me, was kind of whack.
Mm-hmm.
The Zombies episode was kind of fun, but it left me wanting more. Yeah.
Killmonger episode.
I kind of enjoyed it. I thought that was interesting, but not then, very exciting.
Then he ended up, like, turning on...
T'Challa?
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Stark, right. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, that's pretty much it. The rest of them are just movies that are not really sci-fi, like a lot of movies that I really enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, yeah, man. So surprisingly, a lot of really good content in 2021, considering that we're still in the pandemic era. And I'm looking forward to 2022. Are you?
Yeah, I mean, it is 2022.
Oh, you're right. Thank you guys for joining us in our breakdown of our top 15 2021 content list. This was really fun to look over. Again, like, just reminded us of so much stuff that we had forgotten about even throughout this year. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us, you can hit us up at our Geekology101.com website. There you can find information about the podcast, about me and Joshua as hosts. You can click on the merch option at the top right. That'll take you over to our merch shop where you can buy some original merch and support the show. And all the way at the bottom, there's a contact form. Hit us up through there, or...
if you prefer more traditional means, you can contact us at g101podcast@gmail.com.
Here's to a new year. Let's stay geeky, folks.
Yeah!
Human has been neutralized. Game over.